So Joshua chapter number one, not only are we, and we know that there are some that are watching via live stream that normally will state where they're from and what they've done. And this evening we're going to, sometimes we have a little video honoring the veterans. We're going to do that tonight. Part of the reason why is because every time you guys announce it, the kids are always in the back. And we want also the kids to be reminded of you know, the importance of our veterans, the reason why they fought, and how thankful that we are for them. And not just them, but also their families. There's been many birthdays that were missed because of people's and anniversaries and graduations and births even for those that were willing to serve in our military. Very thankful for them. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes the Lord leads me to preach something about soldiers or being in the army of the Lord on this day, the day before Veterans Day. And I began thinking and praying and asking God what he would have me speak on. And I began thinking, okay, the great soldiers of the Bible. And as some people would, mine might go to David because how he defeated Goliath. They even sang his praises, you know, David's killed his how many and Saul's killed this many. You know, there's other people would say maybe Gideon. Samson was some type of warrior, that's for sure. But you see in the story of Joshua, there, as this nation is getting ready to face something they've never faced before. They had the opportunity years earlier, 40 years earlier, specifically a little bit longer than 40 years earlier, when Moses had led this nation up here. And we're talking probably at this point in time around 2 million people. Could you imagine trying to lead 1 million people, 1.5 million, 2 million people through the wilderness? They were brought up to this other side of Jordan, had the opportunity to go to Canaan. They, because of lack of faith, they said no. And because of that, they were punished for 40 years. They're wandering around in the wilderness. The only two people that survived that was the two spies that stood strong, that were strong and courageous. And that's the title of tonight, this morning's message, is Strong and Courageous. So they take these 2 million, they bring them back to this spot once again. And Moses is gone, Moses has passed away, and now God tells Joshua, a new leader, to take this group, take them over to the promised land, and to possess the promised land. Sounds pretty easy, right? All they got to do is just go take it. Well, over there on the other side of Jordan, first of all, was a water that they could not pass. Over there over Jordan, there were cities that had great walls. There were places that had giants. Mighty armies. They had all these things that they were going to face. And Joshua even encourages the people and says, we've not gone this way before. And in this story, in Joshua chapter number one, God calls a certain man to be the leader, to be a soldier. And he uses two words repetitively. He uses the word strong and courageous. And in those two words, he tells Joshua that way, in some way or form, three different times in 9 verses, and he's telling him, look, you need to be strong and you need to be courageous. And sometimes we think about the word strong, we picture those guys that can pick up really big weights and those guys that are really, really able to move stuff. But that's not the type of strength that God was speaking about to Joshua. Joshua, at this point in time, was a very old gentleman. He was definitely up there in years age. And he, at this moment in time, is getting ready to lead 2 million people to a land that 40 years earlier they were too worried to go to because of how strong and how fortified and how much of a risk it was to take this army. And we're not talking about trained soldiers here. We're talking about guys that have been walking around the desert, the wilderness, for 40 different years. So this morning, I like to look at this idea of being strong and courageous because there is a need for that, especially in our military there here in America. There is an expectation of a certain strength. I remember hearing some of the Coast Guard guys that would talk about they had to run a certain mile in a certain period of minutes to be able to continue on doing whatever they were doing. There is a certain fitness that was required there, and that's important. And once again, being fit and being in good shape is a good thing. The Bible even talks about how it profiteth, but it profiteth a little. What the Bible here is speaking about, when he's saying being strong and courageous, he's saying there's something you're going to have to face. And you're not going to need muscle, per se, to do it. You're going to need to be strong in the Lord. You're needing to be courageous. You're getting ready to face obstacles that you've never faced before. And if many of you know the story of Joshua, He has to face some trials, not only just go to Jericho, but what does he have to do at Jericho? He has to tell these group of warriors or soldiers, this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk around once a day for 6 days. So on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it for 7 times. You know what? That takes courage to tell a group of men like that. So I want to talk to you today about the courage to do what's right. Being strong, but not just strong physically, more importantly, strong spiritually. So let's look here in Joshua chapter number 1. Let's look at verses 1, and I think we'll go all the way down to verse number 11. I am going to give you some commentary as I go through, and the reason why is because the message will kind of go into a topical thought here, but I do want you to understand the context of the scriptures. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass. I want you to stop right there. So Moses dies. Unfortunately, people are going to die. Unfortunately, that's something that's going to happen. Look at the description that God gives Moses, the servant of the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's what he led all those people through the wilderness. He helped part the Red Sea. He hit the rock. He spoke to the rock. He did all those different things. But he's known here as the servant of the Lord. And you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with today? Is that people are going to die, and we need people who's going to step up afterwards. There are people that we need to be training that next generation. And we need people that is going to follow along and do the job. And that's what Joshua is. Joshua is someone who God's calling to take Moses' place. And I want to remind you that, yes, sometimes people get older and sometimes people pass away. And there are people that need to step in and do the things that those that have been left behind. The work must still go on. And it says that the Lord spake unto Joshua. So this is God speaking to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. I want you to think about that. That word minister means Moses' servant. He was someone that would do the things that Moses needed done. And it says, saying, this is what the Lord says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Note it when it says in there that I give to them. It's something that he's saying he's giving to them as a gift. Every place, now look at the promise. This is awesome. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. He has just described 300,000 square miles of property there that he's saying, this is yours. All you have to do is go and take it. Look what it says in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Man, I mean, those promises are great in verses 3, 4, but at the end of verse number 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. We serve a God that will not fail us. And promises he'll never leave us. So then you see the commandment that's given here. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And he says, you're going to have to be strong to do this. You're going to have good courage to take on this humongous task. In verse number 7, he says it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Now listen to what it says there. It doesn't say be strong and very courageous so you can fight the giants. It doesn't say be strong and very courageous so you can take on the walls of Jericho. It doesn't say be strong and very courageous so you can do some type of awesome feat that people will sit and look at you and talk about you for years. Look what he's saying, be strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I think that's an important point. If we're going to be spiritually strong, it's got to be in God's word. And if we're going to be spiritually strong and inside God's word, that's when God's going to be able to bless us and be able to answer these promises. It continues on in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, in my notes, I have the idea here where it says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe. And then you go down to verse number 8, he repeats it, that thou mayest observe, but there's something that has to happen between. It says in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, meaning that the Bible is what we speak about. If we speak in a biblical form, in a biblical way, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So to be able to be strong and very courageous, there's something, there's a connection there, that thou mayest observe. Same thing it says in verse number 7. But how does it happen? Is when we're willing to take the word of God and we're willing to meditate on the word of God day and night. That is the way that we're going to be able to observe. And it says to do according to all that is written therein. That's what he's talking about, being strong and being courageous. He's not talking about some muscular feat, because he would have had Joshua go tear down the walls of Jericho. He's saying, I want you to be obedient. I want you to learn what my word says. I want you to consider what my word said. And I want you to apply this to your life, because you have a huge, huge task ahead of you. We're going to divide this land amongst the people, and you're going to face obstacles that you have never, ever considered. Verse number 9. Then he says it again. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Then he says, be not afraid. He's saying, look, you don't have to be afraid of anything you come against. Neither be thou dismayed. We think of that word dismayed, being discouraged. And there are so many people today that are fearful. So many people today that are discouraged. But he's saying, if you're willing to live according, if you're willing to do what is right, meditate on the word of God and do the things that are in it, you can be strong, you can be courageous. He says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the wonderful promise. You don't have to be afraid, because God's going with you. So Joshua responds. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God, now look at this phrase again, giveth you to possess it. Look what it's saying. It's not saying that you have to have victory in the land. That's not the main word in the book of Joshua. It's not being victorious. It's possessing. It's the idea that God's already won the victory. All we have to do is possess it. And the same thing in our Christian life. We have a ton of promises he's given us. I'm not talking about some wealth and prosperity gospel, but I'm talking about being victorious over sin, having a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm talking about being victorious in our Christian living. And it's not something that we have to gain a victory. You don't have to fight for the victory. We are fighting from the victory. He's already won it. All we have to do is possess it. It's when we choose to live and do things according against what God wants. That's when we fall. That's when we falter. And that's when we fail. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in here to strong and courageous. God, I pray you help me today. You give me the strength, Lord, that's needed to present the message that you've given, Lord, in a way that's honoring and pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask that it makes a difference in those that hear. Whether they're here listening now or listening online or listening online later. Lord, let your word go forth strong. Lord, help us to walk out this place, not just desiring to be fit physically, but more importantly, to be strong spiritually. And Lord, to be courageous, to take a stand. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help us today understand the importance and the truth of the type of person you're looking for to be a soldier, a good soldier in the army of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is the man God chose, or the man God chooses, or the woman that God chooses. And we're all, once we are saved, become a Christian, we're inside the family of God. We've been put into the army of God. And I want you to think just for a few moments, and I got a lot of things to go over today, but I don't plan on just belaboring and keeping you here all day. But there's a lot of things that God's put on my heart about this. Number one, Joshua was a man that God chose, and Joshua was proven in battle. Joshua was known even before, when they were coming out of Egypt, they were getting ready to face some obstacles as they were headed to the promised land the first time. And remember the story when Moses tells Joshua, you go down there and I'll stand out there with the rod. And, you know, every time that Moses' arms were lifted up, they were winning the battle. And when his arms fell down, they began to lose the battle. Joshua was proven in battle. Joshua did a good job as a commander back then. Joshua was known for doing what he was supposed to do. And so what's the principle there? God chooses a person who is willing to be faithful over the little things, not just over the big things. If you ever want to serve God in a great and powerful way, and don't get me wrong, I think anything God calls you to do is great and powerful, no matter how many people ever see you do it or how many people ever know, as long as he knows, that's what really counts. But here, Joshua was willing to be faithful in this battle where Moses was the one in charge. Moses wasn't even going down there to fight. Moses sends Joshua. He says, I'll go stand up there on the cliff while you're down there doing all the dirty work. What does he do? He goes and he fights. Not only is Joshua known for being proven in battle, Joshua was prepared through serving. He was prepared through serving. You go back to verse number 1 and 2, where it says at the end of verse number 1, it says, Moses' minister. He's not only called him there, he's also called in Exodus 24:13, and Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. What does that mean? That means that Joshua was his servant. Anything that Moses had asked, he was willing to go do. But, you know, once again, many people think, well, if you're going to prepare somebody to be strong and courageous, to be some type of military leader, some type of military genius, he needs to be treated a certain way. And God's way of working and the way that God works is he wants servant leadership. He wants someone who's willing to serve and willing to do whatever. He even talks about that in his word. He talks about how he didn't came to get minister unto. He came to minister unto others. And Joshua is a perfect example of what a good leader, the type of person God's looking to use, is a person that has been proven over little things and the little things, but he's also been proven that he's not so good that he can't serve. He was Moses' servant. They didn't go through and look for the guy that was the best and the strongest and maybe had the best military mind. God was looking for someone to lead this nation, and he looked for someone that was willing to serve. Not only that, you see that he was a person that was patient and waiting. I sit there and I read the story and think about all the things that were happening, especially that day when he went up to get the Ten Commandments. It talks about how Moses went up into the mountain. It talks about how Joshua went up with him. But Joshua didn't go up all the way. And 40 days he waits at the bottom of the mountain, or a little way up into the mountain. Moses is up there for 40 days. He's communing with God. What's Joshua doing? He's waiting. So what's the big deal about that? I don't know about you. I'd be like, hey, God, why can't I go up there with you too? Sometimes we get so prideful, and sometimes we feel like we need so much, and God should answer our prayers right now, and we should do all those things, that Joshua was content with waiting and knowing what he was supposed to do, and sat there, not for 40 minutes, not for 40 hours, but for 40 days while Moses was getting all the good stuff, communing with God one-on-one, Joshua was just there, and he was waiting patiently. I tell you, that's the type of person God's waiting for. That's the person God wants to use. He doesn't need somebody who's going to say, hey, let's just all run into battle and let's just do what we think is best. That happened in Joshua's life with Ai. And what happened? 30-some people died because of the fact he didn't consult the Lord. He didn't wait. God's looking for someone who's willing to wait on him and do what God's called him to do. Joshua had a pure vision also. I think about this word strong and courageous. It reminds me of the story earlier when Moses sent those 12 spies. And I think about those 12 spies, and there was probably at least a million people there at that point in time that were there. And those 12 spies went out. Remember, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Joshua and Caleb, they had a pure vision. They turned around, and everybody else in the community, everybody else was saying, we can't go into the promised land. We can't go into the promised land. But there were two. There were two that were strong spiritually, two that were strong and courageous and said something like this. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company, the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And he says, only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The whole congregation was there, and they were saying, we can't do it. They even begin to pick up rocks. And what does Joshua and Caleb? They says, no, don't do this. Don't rebel against the Lord. We can do this. And he gave as he was pure in his vision. He was willing at that point in time to stand up and say, let's do what is right. As we look at a person, the soldier in the army of the Lord that needs to be strong and courageous, we look for someone, God's looking for someone who's proven in the little things, prepared by serving, patient in waiting, and pure in his vision. Then another thing, not only to see the man God chooses, I think about the promises that were offered. You think about this, and these promises that are found in verse number 3, look at what it says. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that shall I give unto you, as I said unto Moses. I don't know about you, if I heard that, what would you do? I'd be running. Hey, every place my foot touches, I'm going to keep on walking and keep on walking and keep on walking, because all of it's going to belong to me. Everything's going to belong to the nation of Israel. All he had to do was possess it. He gave him that great promise. And look what it keeps on going. He says in verse number 4, from the wilderness, he gave the description there, 300,000, about 300,000 square miles. And then verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Verse number 6, be thou strong and courageous and have a good courage. So that's great. Nation of Israel got something wonderful. You know, in that 300,000 square miles, you know how much mileage they got? The Bible talks about how they got about 30,000 square miles of it. Meaning that about 10% of the promise is what they owned up on. They had 300,000 square miles that was available to them. God wanted to bless them, but they only conquered. They didn't even have to conquer. They only possessed 10% of it. And I wonder how many promises that are in that book today that we don't possess. I wonder how many, and I think 10% sounds about right, saying that God is offering us power through his Holy Spirit. God is offering us peace that passeth all understanding. God offers us victory over sin. God even tells us, I'll give you wisdom. He even tells us, I'll direct your steps. He tells us all these wonderful, great promises that are found right here, but we don't claim them. We read these verses and thinking, wow, he said every place his foot was at and 300,000 square miles and no man's going to be able to stand before me. He's not going to fail us at the end of verse number 5. He's not going to forsake us. Man, that is awesome. That's great. The nation of Israel should have took advantage of that. I tell you, people, that God in his word has told us that if we will go forth and weep, if bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, saying that we can win people to Christ. That's a promise he gives us. And he gives us promise after promise after promise. I'm not talking about prosperity and wealth. I'm talking about being strong spiritually. And how he spiritually can give us peace, and he can give us hope. He can give us comfort. He can give us so much. But just like the nation of Israel here, it had so much available to them. They choose not to. What's the key? What is it they have to do? What is the one thing that God is commanding them? You see the person that God chooses. You see the promises that was given. What is the command that was there? Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong, be very courageous. That's the third thing, is the promise, the command that God gives. Spiritual strength, I think, here is the application. The word does not honor The world does not honor such strength. Very few are really interested in it. But to serve God, we must be spiritually strong. Being strong but lacking courage makes, one preacher put it this way, being strong but lacking courage makes a strong coward. You think about it. You guess because you're strong, but if you're not willing to have the courage to meet the next obstacle, makes a strong coward. We need courage to face the danger of physical task, but we also must learn to stand true to God. And he says in verse number six, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Go to verse number 9. It says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And I know that if we apply it to today, in the day that we're living in, we think about it. Hey, what in the world does that mean? How does that appropriate to us? We're facing days we've never seen. We're facing unusual obstacles that have never presented our ways before. And we're headed down a path, just like the nation of Israel. They had tons of promises. They had all these things that they could do, all these things they could possess. All they had to do was be strong and courageous, and God was going to answer their prayers. He's already given it to them. And I know that does not mean that we're going to possess a bunch of land, but what promises have we been given today? We can see people saved. We can see families brought together for the Lord. We can see the peace that no one else seems to have. We have so much that is available for us, so much that we can do. And what is God saying? Be strong. Be courageous. He even goes and says, be very courageous earlier. But he says, look, don't be afraid. He also says, don't get discouraged. There's that connection there, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's in thy law. But how does that happen? It's by meditating in the scriptures. We need to learn to be strong spiritually, be strong in his word, be strong. So I even did a little bit of a Bible study using the words strong and the word in, I-N. And there's the scriptures talk about a number of things that are strong in. In Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, Abraham, at this old age, he was not strong. He wasn't staggering, though, because he was strong in faith. When it talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. The verse before that says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? Anybody know? In the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what the scripture is saying is not be strong in your might and your power, but instead be strong in the Lord. Then 2 Timothy 2 also talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Luke 1:80 refers to John the Baptist. Also, the same statement was said about Jesus as a child. He says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. So they're saying there's some things that we should be strong in. So like Brother Davidson was talking about, there's some things that we should be zealous in. There's some things that we should be strong in. When he's saying be strong and courageous, be strong spiritually, how strong are you in your faith? How strong are you in the Lord? How strong are you in grace and in his spirit? You say it doesn't talk about being strong in power at all. It does talk about being strong in power. And talk about one person he's strong in power with. That's God. Isaiah 40, verse 25 and verse 26 says, to whom then will ye liken me, or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and no one faileth. And it talks about the power that we need to have and be strong in the power of his might. It talks about God's power. And when he's talking about Joshua here and he's telling this nation of Israel, hey, look, don't be strong and courageous in yourself and what you can do in your flesh. Don't be strong because you have more power in yourself. But look at the one who is strong. Look at the one who never fails, who never forsakes us, and be strong. God is searching even for someone he can show himself strong in. What it says in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 16 verse 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So what the Bible is saying there is that God is actually showing God is the strong one. God has the might. God's the one that says, I'm never going to leave you. God's the one that says, I'm never going to fail you. How can he make that promise? Because he's the strong one. He says he's searching. It says for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for someone. Who's he looking for? To show himself strong in. He says, I want to take my power and my might and be able to channel it through someone and look at in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's telling Joshua here, hey, look, don't just go do your push-ups to go fight those giants. You have no chance. He says, but I want you to get into the word and I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous. He says, I'm the one that has the strength. I'm the one that has the power. I'm the one that if your heart is right, I can channel that strength through you. Isn't that what he did in Jericho? I mean, isn't that what he did when they walked around some walls and the walls came tumbling down? It wasn't their strength. It wasn't because they yelled louder than anybody else. That's foolish. It's the fact that God found someone who was willing to listen. He found someone who was willing to be obedient. He found someone who was willing to listen, even if it didn't make sense, and walk around and honor the Lord, and honor the Lord's strength, and honor the Lord's might. And that's when the victory happened. You see, later on, when the next fight, Joshua forgot all about that. Joshua says, let's just send a couple thousand out to Ai. We can take care of this. And God said, no, you're not being strong and courageous. He thought, we are strong enough, we're courageous enough, we can take care of this self. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for someone who he can show himself strong in, and that person is someone who's willing to become weak. Because in our weakness, God's strength can come true. What does the word courage come up with? I think what courage talks about is being willing to stand for the Lord. Willing to stand to do what is right, no matter the consequences. You know, I think about Caleb. He gets there, and he's how old at that point in time? I think he was 85, and he was saying, hey, I'm strong. I can take care of this. But he was there with the giants. He went and took that mountain. He said, that mountain belongs to me. That's because he was strong and courageous years earlier. When he says, we can go and we can do this, God blessed him. He gave him that mountain. And I think about how God saw victory after victory after victory in the promised land, but it was only 10% of what God had planned. And I wonder how many of us were missing really the fullness of the Lord, of what he has planned for us and what he has in store for us, because we're not being strong spiritually and we're not being courageous. I think about that word courage, and I think about different people in the Bible that had courage to do right no matter the circumstances. I think about Caleb with the giants. I think about the marching around Jericho. But I think of people like Esther, David fighting Goliath. I think about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about John the Baptist. I think about the many disciples. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think about so many characters that were known for not being strong physically, but were able to accomplish what God wanted because of the fact they were strong spiritually. They weren't just strong spiritually, they were courageous also. How can we be so confident? You say, Pastor, you talk big when you preach, but how can you be so confident in a world that's so crazy? Like I said, taking 2 million people, kids, women, all this cattle, all into that promised land and taking off one city at a time. Man, that is a huge task. But this is the way they did it. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 5. It says at the end, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1:9 at the end, it says that for the Lord God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here's the point that you can be strong and courageous. It's because God is always there. I've used this illustration before. It's about who's with you. It's about who you're with. I talked about, and my dad now is struggling. He's in nursing home. I told the group earlier to be praying. He has on Friday. They have an important meeting. But I remember when I was young, and my dad was a police officer. Boy, he wore that big belt that went in there and had that gun that sat right there, and. I probably needed that belt more than I got it, but that gun that was there, and I thought my dad could take anybody. You know, there's kids that used to say, my dad can beat up your dad, so maybe your dad can beat my dad up. My dad can shoot you, so your dad. So because he had that, and I remember not very often riding in that car, the police car, every once, maybe twice, and having it take off and thinking, man, there's nothing my dad can't do. I wasn't afraid at all to go to a call with him because my dad was going to take care of me. Now, looking back at it, you know, 40-some years later, it's probably kind of foolish because you never know what could happen, but I trusted my dad. You know, it's so much greater with that thought is that God is with us. How could Caleb go and say, I can take care of those giants? It's because he knew God was with him. How can we go and face someone who is so anti-Christian and there is no hope? And it's because God's with us. With God, there's always hope. With God, there's always strength. With God, there's always ability to have courage because we're not fighting our own. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the middle of that fiery furnace. There was a fourth guy there, and that was Jesus. And that, praise the Lord, I don't even know if they saw Jesus. I heard a preacher one time preach that message and said, the only person that really saw Jesus was Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is the only one that needed to see him, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego already knew the promise that he was going to be with them. I would think, well, that would have been a great time to spend time with Jesus, the way I always thought about it, but he's there. And so when you're facing something this week, get your strength from the Word of God. Get your strength from here. And then have some courage to do what's right. And I'm not talking about a courage so that way you can feed your pride, or a courage that can show that you're right. I'm talking about taking a stand for God and being a witness. I'm talking about having the courage to love your wife the way the Bible says that we're supposed to love them, to honor your husband the way the Bible says you're supposed to honor, for children to obey their parents, for children inside of a school that might not really care that much about God to say, you know what, I love the Lord, and I'm going to do what's right. For in our workplace, to sit there and have prayer and Bible study during lunchtime, not to be ashamed of praying over your food, not to be ashamed of talking about God. I'm talking about having courage to take a stand and do what's right. And that's what he's saying to this group of people, specifically to the leader. He says, look, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of a good courage. He's not saying, hey, go work out harder so that way I can push your body to the limits. He's saying, I can take care of the strength part. Now you be strong spiritually. You be courageous. And allow God to work through you. I know being in the Army of the Lord is completely different than serving in our military. And I am so thankful for those who served our country, and all the years that they put in, all the sacrifices, and some that gave it all for our country. I also am so thankful for those who have fought valiantly in the Army of the Lord too, who said, I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be courageous. Do what's right. Take a stand. Not because of my preferences. I'm going to take a stand because I'm strong spiritually. I've been in the Bible. I've meditated day and night. I'm observing those things. And sometimes I see people have attitudes and make courageous statements and say silly, stupid things sometimes. And they says, I'm just being courageous. And they haven't been in their Bible at all. I mean, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm, you know, if it's something contrary to the Bible, then you're not observing all the things they talked about in there. You're observing what you want. I'm talking about meditating in the Word of God and understanding God and knowing the will of God and understanding the will of God and doing the will of God. That is strong. And that's so we can be courageous out there, because we've been in the book. He's strengthened us. He has raised us up to serve him, just like he raised Joshua up. He says, Moses is gone. I need somebody to take these people in. You proved it in the little things. You were willing to be a servant for me when I asked to. You were willing to wait patiently when it seemed like Moses was getting the attention. You were willing to do the right thing. I can trust you. Now I'm going to let you be the leader. And God used him in a special way. He wasn't perfect. But how much more could they have accomplished for the Lord if they would have been strong and courageous? I don't know. You think about all those different spots where there's fighting over this part now, over what's Israel's and what's not Israel's. I wonder if they had conquered the whole 300,000 square feet and didn't do what was right in their own eyes for all those years, if they would have those same problems today. They got about 10% of the promise that God was willing to give them. Don't own up for just 10%. Be strong and courageous and take God at his word. That's what he's saying to them. No one's going to be able to stand against you. Every place your foot sits, that's going to be yours. And he gives them the outline. Man, if they would have believed, all they had to do is just walk and possess it. Yes, God had to prove himself over and over. And yes, they did have to be strong. Yes, they had to be courageous. Because they weren't, they missed out on 90% of the blessing. I'm wondering in our lives, how much of the blessing, or how much are we limiting the Holy One of Israel because we're not willing to be strong and we're not willing to be courageous. You say, I want my family to do better. Be strong and courageous. Doesn't mean that you're just sitting there telling them what to do. It means that you're in the Bible and you're a living example, and let God lead you so you can lead your family. I want this church to do great and mighty things. Be strong and courageous. Be a biblical Christian. Be strong in his word. Observe all the things he tells you to do, and then take a stand where you're supposed to take a stand. Be strong and have a good courage. Let's pray.